the explosive power, the moral and spiritual dynamic to change a man from the inside out. It is the power of God unto salvation.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We should be deeply committed to living the kind of life that honors God and draw upon His resources to do so. I believe that Peter shares with us three significant insights in verses 3 to 11 of 2 Peter chapter 1 regarding that kind of a life. The first thing I see is the possibility of such a life, and I believe that's what's unfolded for us in verses 3 and 4. The second thing I see is the properties of such a life, and that's unfolded in verses 5, 6, and 7. Actually, there are 8 properties of this kind of a life. And then finally, I believe Peter gives to us the product of such a life, as that's unfolded in verses 8 to 11. I'd like for us for a few moments to focus on this idea of the possibility of such a life. How is it that you and I, creatures, fallen creatures that we are, with all of our limitations and selfishnesses and uglinesses that seem to be natively attendant to us and our way of life, how is it that you and I, the raw material of what we are as human beings, fallen creatures but redeemed creatures, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, how is it that you and I can ever come to live such a life? The kind of life that honors God. We ought to be deeply committed to that. How is it that you and I can live that kind of a life? As I look at verses 3 and 4, I believe there are two great concepts that emerge, which perhaps will help us to understand a little more precisely how it is that we can live this kind of life. What are those two concepts in verses 3 and 4? What do you see in those verses? Many precious, powerful ideas in those verses. But as I look at verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1, there are two great concepts that grow out of those two verses that I think will help us to realize how we can possibly engage in the kind of life that honors God. The first thing I see is the great power of Jesus Christ. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to or through or by His own, perhaps would be a good way of translating that, by His own glory and virtue. The great power of Jesus Christ makes possible the kind of life that will honor God. We can tap into the power of God through our union with Jesus Christ. We're not left alone to live this life. God calls us to a lofty way of living, and He invests in us the power of Jesus Christ Himself to live it. And that's how it becomes a reality in our lives. Not only the great power of Jesus Christ, however, reflected in verse 3, but also the great promises of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, precious promises of the Lord, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The great power of Jesus Christ and the great promises of Jesus Christ, verses 3 and 4, make possible the kind of life that honors God. Now let's look at it just for a moment. What do you see in verse 3? We're talking there about the general theme of the great power of Jesus Christ. I see three ideas there. I want to look at two in particular and just pass over the third. I see three ideas there. First of all, the essence of this power. It's called divine power. And then the second thing I see there is the expression of this power. How does it express itself to us? The Bible says that this power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the expression of this power. And then the last thing I see is the efficient cause which brings this power right down into our lives. It comes to us through the knowledge of Him. The deeper our knowledge of Jesus Christ, the deeper our intimacy with Jesus Christ, the greater the expression of this power in our lives. That's the efficient cause, bringing it down into our lives through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to or through or by His own glory and virtue. As I define the essence of this power, there are really two things I'd say about the essence of this power, which makes possible for you and I, average individuals, the potential of a life that honors and pleases God. As I see the essence of that power, there are really two things that stand out to me. One, it is demonstrative. And two, it is divine. How does the power of Jesus Christ manifest itself? You ever thought about that? At least in three ways. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, Jesus Christ has power to create. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 16, "For by him were all things created." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. John, the first chapter in verse 3, "All things were made by him," Jesus Christ, "and without him was not anything made that was made." You and I have the ability to manufacture with the use of pre-existing materials. Jesus Christ creates ex nihilo, the theologians call it. That means out of nothing. Jesus Christ has the power to create. That's one way in which his power is manifested. That means he can help you, by the way. He's bigger than whatever problems you're facing tonight. Whatever pressures have been allowed to come into your life, Jesus Christ is more powerful. He has the power to create. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And secondly, he has the power to conserve. We're taught in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, "By him all things consist." Not only did he create, Colossians 1 verse 16, he also has the power to conserve. "By him all things consist." Paul means that the principle of cohesion in the universe is directly traceable to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the adhesive that holds it all together. According to the second law of thermodynamics, the universe ought to be running down. It ought to be disintegrating. But there seems to be a continuous input of energy to sustain it and to maintain it. Where does that energy come from? Jesus Christ is the creator, and Jesus Christ is the sustainer. He is the principle of cohesion in the universe. He is the unifying, conserving, and controlling force in the material and spiritual universe. He is the adhesive which holds it all together. If he can do that in the universe, he can meet the needs in your life and in mine. He has the power to create, he has the power to conserve, and then he has the moral and the spiritual dynamic, the power to convert. Paul could say in the New Testament era, Paul could say in Romans 1 in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to convert. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of it, for it is the power," same Greek word, "the dunamis," the explosive power, the moral and spiritual dynamic to change a man from the inside out. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ alone has in it inherently the capacity and the power to rescue a man, to rescue a woman, to rescue a young person or a child from all that would destroy their soul in this life and in the life to come. That's what salvation is. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, he says, and also to the Greek, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Peter says here, first of all, that the possibility of living out a life that honors God is traceable to the great power of Jesus Christ. I want you to see the essence of that power, Peter says. It is demonstrative. That's why I use the word dunamis. And it's divine. That's why I use the word theos or theos to describe it. Then secondly, I want you to see its expression. Not only its essence, demonstrative and divine, but the Bible says there that this power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I believe that's a reference to the expression of this power, the way in which that power expresses itself. When Peter says that God hath given, in fact, he says that in verse 4 as well, "whereby are given." You know, God is always giving. Have you ever noticed that? God is always giving. He's always condescending. He's always reaching down. He's always touching our lives. He's always seeing where we are and where we're hurting and ministering to our needs. That's the kind of God he is. And when Peter says, "he hath given," what he's really saying is that God is as merciful as he is powerful. God is as merciful as he is powerful. His love motivates him to give freely and gratuitously. His power enables him to give efficiently and effectively. God is as merciful as he is powerful. So Peter says, "he hath given unto us all things." He puts that word "all" first in the Greek sentence, and it's emphatic by its position. All things. He hath given unto us. Unlimited power and unlimited love make for unlimited provision of our needs. And the placement of that little particle, panta, is the Greek word, all. The placement of that little particle, standing first in the Greek sentence, emphasizes the incredible extensiveness of God's provision for us. He gives everything we need. Everything we need, God gives to us. Do you notice that's the scope of this expression of his power? What does he give more precisely? What's the substance of it? He hath given to us all things, what? That pertain unto life and godliness. You know what Peter is really saying there? Peter is saying that God's power works two great miracles in our lives. Number one, God's power makes accessible to me conversion. He gives me life. And then number two, God's power makes it accessible to me conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. He enables me to be godly. He gives me not only life, he gives me godliness. Conversion and conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Those are the two great miracles that Christ's power works in our life. God's immediate objective for our lives is to give us life, to regenerate us, to convert us, to bring us to himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And implicit in that statement is our spiritual death. In effect, Peter is saying, you were dead until you met Christ. And when you met Christ, he made you alive. In what sense were you dead? You weren't physiologically dead. You weren't psychologically dead. You were physically and emotionally and mentally and volitionally alive. In what sense were you dead? You were spiritually dead. You were out of touch with God. But when you tapped into Jesus Christ, when you received him as your Lord and Savior, when you began to adhere to the like precious faith that he mentions in verses 1 and 2, in that moment of trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation, you were quickened. You were made alive. That's a demonstration of God's power. Only God can do that. There's no other source of energy or power on the face of the globe that can bring a man alive spiritually. I think that Peter would say that modern man is asking the wrong question. I think that Peter would say modern man is asking the wrong question when he inquires, is there life after death? What he ought to be asking is there life after birth? And Peter says that we can be made alive, spiritually alive. We're not just going to exist, we're going to live, and it's going to be life with a capital L, and it's the power of God that will give it to us. And that power is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beyond that, he says, I'll not only give you life, I'll enable you to become godly. I'll make you a godly individual. That's conformity to Christ's image. His immediate goal is to save our souls. His ultimate objective is to make us morally and spiritually like his Son. In a word, to make us godly.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
There is a moral magnetism attached to the person of Jesus Christ like no other person that has ever populated the face of the globe.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.